accession number 17436, reel 2.
Before our journey was over, because of the fact that we hadn't put all the fresh food aboard in Scotland, we were existing on bully beef and biscuits. But I don't think that did anybody any harm, because the Canadian Light Infantry were an extremely lively bunch of fellows, and they didn't give us a lot of peace on board, because we were passengers the same as they were. We had with us some rifles, for some 22 bore in 303 rifles, and I think that we targeted ourselves, target fired ourselves all the way from here to Sicily with these rifles against the Princess Patricia's Life Infantry and their intercompany and all the rest of it. So it was quite an active journey. But there, at the landing, we embarked on our LCAs, and I was in the first flight to be lowered off of the Langibby Castle, but I was in the centre of three boats, or three LCAs. Now, as we went down into the water, the LCA ahead of us came back and smashed our bows. At the same time, the one astern came forward and caused us damage on the stern. Well, we didn't get very, very far. We got sufficient far enough to be out of sight of Langibby Castle, and we were filling up with water. Now, the LCA doesn't sink, it just fills with water and then floats. But it was filling rapidly, and there was no way we could get it out. Pumps were running. But we managed to attract the attention of an LCG. This was a Landcraft tank, but it was fitted with 4-inch guns on board it, manned by Royal Marines. And we went aboard that. There was no loss or anything of personnel, and unfortunately we had to stay on that because the craft was called away to our left, which was going away from the landing, because I think that the landing beach that I was on was the extreme left of the English or the British landing. The Americans were further on from us. Anyway, we ultimately did manage to get, after they'd been doing a little bit of shelling, we did manage to get ashore, put ashore, way off of our area. Now, we parted company with the PPI, and myself and my bodyguard made back along the beaches and the water level to our rightful appointed beach, which was in the bay just up from Point Burkina.
How many of the Canadians could you land from such a craft?
I think there were about 28 to 30 in each craft, something like that. We were in three rows, and I would say them, yes, three rows crouched down in the landing craft. But I rejoined the unit, and we did the necessary beach recces that had already been started because the first waves had come over the beaches. I don't know whether you've heard of the deep water recce by the Royal Naval Commandos. This was a thing that was practiced at Armadillo, and it was a very simple way of finding out whether a beach was usable or not. There were two parties to the commando. Each had an officer, a petty officer, and as I say, 10 men. Now, you formed up at each end of the beach that you wanted to use. The officer leading started to walk out into the water, and the rest followed him, holding hands. So, in other words, you then had a line of personnel at either end of the beach in the water. They turned into each other and then proceeded to walk together. The principle of this being that if there was any obstruction on the beach, you would either find it or blow it, one or the other. I don't think anybody really thought about that very much at the time. We used to do it and that was it. It was all right doing it in practice. It wasn't so kind doing it in theory. But fortunately, we never found anything that blew. We found the obstructions underwater, the runnels and things like that. But here again, in Sicily, our landing, our beachhead landing, was very successful. There was a certain amount of opposition in the initial flights coming in, but after that, none at all. It was a very peaceful landing as far as we were concerned. We stayed, I think, on the original beach for only about a week. And then G1 party moved round to Point Pucino itself, right on the tip of Sicily. And here we stayed for a period of about 6 weeks. Originally we were getting LSTs coming in and we were unloading those, but as the troops moved up the coast, the larger the LSTs and the vessels were able to get into Augusta and places like that. But we were still active on our beach, bringing in LSTs, unloading vehicles from them and loading them back with the unending columns of Italian prisoners that the army was sending down to us. So we would have tanks in and Italians loaded up and sent away. Oh, as I say, we were here, I think, for a period of about 6 weeks on that. And I think for the whole of that 6 weeks and the week before, feet and ankles were a big problem, because you were in and out of the edge of the water nearly all the time. The beach was really piping, the sand was piping hot, and I think that a lot of us had troubles at that time, because you had to wear boots and things, but your ankles were constantly swollen. You didn't want clothes touching them, because coming out of the water onto the sand all the time, it was creating a chafing on the legs. So other than the fact that it did plough us up quite a bit there, we had no major problems.
What was the condition and demeanour of the Italian POWs?
All they wanted to do was to get off of Sicily as quick as they could, get aboard the boats. They were like, I hate to say this, but they were just like a load of sheep. They were walking, they came down to the beach, they knew they were going into the boats, ramps were down, they were just loaded in, and that was it. There was no problem with them. Their escorts they had, which were army, I don't know how many there were per 100 Italians, but there weren't very many, possibly only one or two. The escorts were very far and few between. So there were no problem in any way.
Any German POWs?
Didn't see any Germans at all. All we saw there were Italians.
I think we should also explain what LCA means.
The LCA is the landing craft assault. That's the small assault craft, which is used on the first waves, normally the first 2 to 3 waves, onto the beach itself. It's quite shallow in the water, has no armaments or anything like that, just a small ramp. three rows of people getting inside, crouched inside it, ramps down, and run for it. But they could get in quite close. But these vessels that were taking the Italian prisoners away were the landing ship tanks. They were the bigger ones. But from here, we moved up to Catania and then nearer to Messina. I did in actual fact go up with a group of officers, army and myself and my commanding officer, by jeep to the Messina lighthouse, which was way out into the straits there, where we were taken into some buildings and shown the beaches on the mainland itself, where in actual fact what we did was we were shown these the beaches through these glasses, and there were the Germans just putting all the mines in, laying the minefields. So it was quite interesting, but they didn't worry about us while we were there. They permitted us to go out. I think there were about four jeep loads went out there, staggered, but they didn't like us while we were there, and when we came back they tried shelling us on the way back. But that was the only thing that happened to me, I think, in Sicily. We joined up with the 231 Independent Brigade. This was part of the 8th Army and part that had been stationed for a while in Malta. And we joined LSIs, Landing Ship Infantry. These are holding, say, 200, 250 men per vessel, and capable of going in on the beach with ramps down either side. And we, early September, 3rd of September, night of the 2nd, 3rd, something like of September, we went in to Vibo Valentia Marina. The idea being this was up from the Tower of Italy, and the idea being that we landed there with a small force and cut the main road, which was immediately behind Vibo Valentia, to stop the retreat of German forces going down to the other landings on the Tower of Italy. Well, we landed only a small force. We were under heavy opposition, a considerable mortar fire. I landed on the mole itself, and we were under mortar fire from the high ground around Vibo Valentia. And literally, having got rid of all the troops away from the mole, we stayed on the mole with this constant mortar shelling going on all the time. And nothing else came in after those first flights. Nobody else came in. I believe the Admiral tried to come in on a motor launch into the harbour. He was hastily turned round and departed. There was no other landing craft came in. We were left here, and we were in actual fact there for 10 days. We couldn't move out. They couldn't get to the road because they were held by this mortar fire from the overlooking mountainside. The first indication that we had that the 8th Army was moving up was one night a water cart came through the front lines. A British water cart came through, a 3-ton lorry carrying water. Not that we needed water, we had plenty. And that was the relief, because he was hotly followed by the troops coming up from the landings below. We hadn't succeeded in cutting the road as it was hoped, because we'd been contained the whole of the time in Vibo Valentia. I personally, with my unit, hadn't left the mole. We'd been on the mole the whole of the time we were there. But once relieved, we stayed, I think, about a week in Valentia. There was nothing there for us to do. and eventually we moved round to a place called Andria, which is inland from partway between Barletta and Bari on the Adriatic coast. And here the units G1, G2 and G3 met up for the first time, because they had come across from North Africa and landed at different parts of the country to us, landed in the heel of Italy and Crotone and places like that. But this was our first joining together with the other two sections of the commando. Well, basically it was from here where the activities up the Adriatic started, because a small force, a small unit, went up to Termoli. This consisted of our commanding officer, Commander Nichols, his aide, Sub-Lieutenant Lucas, and then one Lieutenant Bentley Buckle, RN. And he had took with him about nine, a petty officer, a leading hand, and about six of my seamen from my unit. And they went up to Termoli. Now, I stayed in Andria, but by that time I had acquired a BMW motorbike and sidecar, a German vehicle, which the previous driver had no further use for. And I was used to run between Andria and my men at Termoli, backwards and forwards. Now, this was quite fascinating, because if you can imagine a midshipman with his maroon patches, midshipman VR, with his maroon patches on his collar, in khaki uniform, with a crash helmet and goggles on, riding a motorbike and sidecar. I used to get saluted by the military police, given priority at all sorts of points and hold-ups, because they thought it was army staff going through, because there was no indication. Nobody could see. All they could see were these off-colour patches on my collar. And I had great fun with that, driving up there. I always enjoyed that ride up and back. But it wasn't long before I said, well, I wanted to go up, and I asked permission. I was allowed to go out and join Bentley Buckle at Termoli. Termoli was taken early in October, and there was a group, our naval group, and there was a group of army people there. Two Italian motor torpedo boats, Motor Siluranti, had come into Termoli from the north, and they were still manned with their Italian crews. Now, Termoli was set up because at that time the Germans had previously, or the Italians had moved off of the prisoner of war camps, and there had been a lapse of time before the German sentries had taken over the camps. And during that period there had been a lot of British and Allied troops had escaped and were spread all over Italy, the north part of Italy. Well, the idea was that the army should go up and start gathering them together, and we would go up and liaise, and we would start bringing them back. Well, this we did do several successful journeys north, and brought on one occasion some quite high staff personnel back, senior ranking military people back on board one of these Motor Silurantes. Now, these vessels were petrol driven, and we had, because of the range we were doing, we had to refuel on the way back, which meant that we invariably carried great stores of 4-gallon flimsy cans on the stern. One particular night, this one with the senior British officers on board, we were stopped and refueling. Now, the British coastal forces and MTBs from Bari were always supposed to be advised when we were out operating, so that they didn't operate in the same area that we operated. Now, on this particular night, whilst we were refueling, we saw these two wakes of two British MTBs go past us on the starboard side. We went silent, they went past, but obviously they had seen us, they had identified the vessel as an Italian Moto Sirenti, which was very much like the German E-boats, very low in the water, and we thought they'd gone, but no, they hadn't. They went up north, they turned and they came down on us, the pair of them. Well, it didn't matter that we were flashing to them the night's recce signal to tell them who we were. They had identified the boat and they were after us. Well, the only fortunate thing that saved us on that occasion was the fact that the Moto Sirentis were a lot faster than the British MTBs, and we were able to set things going, put our bottom in the water and really get moving out of the way. They gave up the chase after a short period of time and left us alone. Otherwise we would have had a running set to with two British MTBs. But
how far north were you going to pick up these PLAs?
We went up for special occasions like that. We were way north. We were up around the Po area at the time of that, just below Venice on that sort of run. But normally it wasn't all that far. We were able to do it in a night. The episodes, I don't know how many landings I actually did up there. I don't think anybody ever kept tally or count of the number of landings. But the next episode that involved me was I was due to land two army officers. We went to the spot where we was land. The craft was fetched in as near as we dare. This was the Moto Sirenti, who was fetched in as near as we dare. Then myself and my bodyguard and these two army officers got aboard the rubber dinghy and off we rowed for the beach. Well, we were on the right beach, but we didn't get there. There was such a heavy swell inshore over the runnels that we capsized. The outcome of it was that we had no rubber dinghy. What remained of it we hid, and there was only one thing to do, was for myself and my bodyguard to stay with the army, because the crew of the Moto Sirenti had strict instructions that if we were not back on certain time limits, they were to leave. And they did, and they left us behind. So this meant that we were stranded with the army, or they were stranded with us. These two men knew where they were and knew the location of other British units in the area. We joined up with these British units. I say British units, they were a real mixed bag. We had French Foreign Legionnaires, Polish servicemen, British servicemen, a real motley batch of people. And they had been up there, some of them, for quite a time, making contact with groups of Allied ex-prisoner of war. Now, we had lost contact at the moment, and with having me being left behind from the vessel, and our main object was to try and get somebody back to Termoli. Now, the Germans by that time had got wise to the idea that people would try and take Italian boats and go back, and they'd started to collect of a night time all the boats together into one area and put guards on them. So it became a bit of a problem to find boats without German sentries on them overnight. I must say that during this period we were a party of 20 to 30 people, and we did manage to wander. It appeared to me, because this was the first time I'd had any experience of this, we did appear to be able to wander at will from house to house. These were previously located safe houses, but we did appear to be able to move quite easily from place to place. There was one slight problem, though they were very wary of the fact that there was German cavalry, horses in the area, which they'd been using in the mountainous areas to look for XPOWs and such people as ourselves. Also, of course, the fact that we were all still in uniform, well, such as that we'd got left after swimming ashore. But we managed eventually, I think I must have been there for about 10 days, all told, sufficiently long enough for a report to have gone to Admiralty to tell them that I was missing, and sufficient for ultimately a message to get home to my parents to say that I was missing. Anyway, we eventually, a group of us, there was about six of us, found a small fishing boat to the edge, to the perimeter of the guarded area, and we managed to get this into the water and get it out to sea. It had a small sail, it ultimately had a motor, which we managed to, at least I didn't, but someone managed to get going, and off we pushed.
What was this place where you were ashore?
I couldn't give you the name at the moment. I can't remember the name of it. Afraid I can't remember the name of any of the landings up there.
But it sounds like it was about November 43.
The time, this would be November 43, yes. And we sailed back quite uneventfully. There was a Spitfire came over the top of us and had a look at us. But we waved, but then anybody in a small boat would wave at an aircraft at those times, and they just didn't open fire. But we made it back to Termini late the next day. The army went their way, and I went straight up to the mess, the naval mess that we had in Termini itself. Now, when I went into the mess, there was Commander Nichols, Joe Lucas, Lieutenant Bentley Buckle, and two strange RN lieutenants in blues, in naval uniform. I just burst in on this. They just had their dinner. Commander Nichols looked at me and sort of said, "What devil do you think you've been up to?" sort of thing. And I didn't say anything. I looked at these two naval lieutenants and waited for something to happen. Well, Commander Nichols said, "You're perfectly all right talking in front of these two. There's no problem. Don't worry about them. What's been going on?" So anyway, I explained to him, to the best of my ability, what had happened, where we were, where these people were up, and the fact that there was a... they'd got located, about 250-odd people up there, that they could get off, if only we could get vessels up to them. Anyway, I gave my report to him, and I was duly told by Captain Black, Captain R.N. Black, who was in charge, he was